Welcome into the March edition of the Spoofhound Spotlight as we're going to go around the Maryville School District and take a look at what is happening here locally. We're joined by Maryville Assistant Superintendent Philip Porn. I'm Matt Tritton. Thanks for joining us here on the show today. Philip, always great to see you. And it's the first show of the spring season, so that's always a good sign.
A lot of things going around the district, and good to be by your side once again on the radio.
Now, it's always good to see you, and of course, we get to do this a lot in the fall throughout the football season, right? Maryville High School football, we have a lot of fun with that. And so anytime we're on the mic together is always enjoyable.
Absolutely. It seems like those fall games turn into winter games. I think our last opportunity was December 4th. We were together over at Blair Oaks, but we have a great time together, and again, good to be back in studio with
you. In studio. A little chilly, a little snowy that day. Now, typically, this is with Dr. Logan Lightfoot, the superintendent here at Maryville, but obviously some things have changed a little bit. News came down officially March 20th that there would be a change in leadership for the school district. After being placed on leave earlier in the semester, Superintendent Dr. Logan Lightfoot will resign effective June 30th. It puts a little bit more responsibility on yourself, of course, some changes around the district. Just what's the overall feel right now within the Maryville School District, what we've seen transpire the last couple of weeks?
I think really the communication from central office out to staff has greatly assisted this transition. Our school board's done a great job of communicating with me, things that I can make sure our staff is aware of. Josh McKim, our board president, he conducted an interview with Sky from the forum and got some information out to both community and otherwise so that people would know what's going on district. Right now, I've just assumed some additional roles. I know we talked a little bit about football, and we talked about dual threat quarterbacks, and right now I'm kind of like a one-star dual threat quarterback, Matt. So, but really not doing any of this alone. There's a great team within central office that's helping and picking up right where we can and moving forward. So our administrative team is strong. We are just working together as one big team and seeing some great things happen for our district.
The statement that comes out, obviously discussing the district and Dr. Lightfoot, maybe some of those goals not aligning at that moment, kind of leading to this mutual separation. Can you shed any light on what ultimately led to this with this board decision coming down?
Very fair question. Obviously, I would tell you that we've been very fortunate in that our board president, Josh McKim, is the guy that's fielding those kind of questions. And I'm sure he would be happy to hear from you if you had that opportunity to talk with him.
So it's a school district that is known for stability, continuity. We've seen that for many years. Does this kind of allow maybe the school board to just kind of start things fresh at this point too, and just like, hey, let's hit the reset button and go?
Yeah, you know, we have to look back at the last 2.5-3 years when Dr. Lightfoot was here, and many things are going forward, right? We've got a giant building project going on down at the elementary, $23 million bond issue passed about a year ago this time. We've got projects that are completed at the high school. We've got projects that are going to be happening over the summer at the high school. We've got things at the middle school. Almost every facility is going to be touched over the course of the summer. When we open up school in August, it is going to feel very fresh across the district. And so for us, it's really maybe not a fresh start so much as what do we do to fill in any kind of gaps that are out there, and how do we come together as a district, push forward, and remember that we're here for the students, and then for my role, students, staff, and school community. That's kind of where our mindset is right now, and we are doing some pre-planning for next year, but certainly looking at our facilities. I was just down at the elementary, and that big project at the elementary right now, adding space and reconfiguring space, it's going to be a wonderful school when it's all said and done, and looking forward to having folks like you and the community out to see it.
It's hard to believe that it has been about a year since everything passed to be able to get to this point. Things are rolling along, and we talked about it before going on the air, but the end of the school year coming up a little bit quicker this year than we've seen in previous years to allow that construction to really take hold and get things rolling throughout the summer. But we don't have much time left in the school year, and so things are really flying right now.
One of the things we had to look at going into the school year is we had schools that were going longer days than others. So the middle school was going about 395 minutes. So this year, we purposely built our day so that all three buildings would go the same amount of minutes, 395 minutes. DESE allows you to count whoever goes to school the least as your day. So now that we're all going 395 minutes, we get to our hours. We're required to go 1,044 hours by the state of Missouri. We'll get to those hours in a few fewer days. So with that, we're able to get out. Our last day of school is still May 9th, despite snow and all the things that we had. May 9th, we will be out that day, and construction in full force at those buildings that I was talking about will happen about midweek the following week. We still have summer school, so we have that going on at NTS in kind of a limited fashion because of the space limitations. But other than that, they're going to have free reign of those buildings to get in, tear up, and reconfigure for our needs moving forward.
I would assume that a lot of the teachers and students kind of like that sprint to the finish of saying, let's get this going, let's hit May 9th, and then we're going into summer. AMI days have really changed things. I know COVID-19, there's a lot of heartache and stress around the country, around the world. You got to find the positives in it. You kind of see that there with AMI days of, hey, we're not going to be in school. We're still going to be able to keep these kids active, keep them learning, even when it's snowy outside.
Sure. So that 395 minutes translated to 1,086 hours, which gave us about six traditional snow days. You know, the ones where you go out, get bundled up, make a snowman, come back inside, mom's got hot chocolate and cocoa waiting for you. AMI days are state-forgiven days, and we can connect with our students on those days, whether that be elementary, a choice board, or through technology, Schoology platform for middle and high school. We get to count those hours back. So we had five of those days and six of those traditional snow days, 11 days missed of school, but we're still on time for a May 9th early out, I hope, a couple hours, an early out. Teachers can pack up their rooms, get their things ready to go, and then we'll be ready for construction.
It's hard to believe that is coming around quickly, but here we are sitting March 31st, heading into April, and happy you're joining us here on this Monday morning. This is Spoofound Spotlight. We're talking with Maryville Assistant Superintendent Philip Porn. We'll take a quick break and be back with more here on KXCV KRNW. Support for Spoofound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at MazingoLake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com. This is Spoofound Spotlight here on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. We are talking with Maryville Assistant Superintendent Philip Porin here this morning. Philip, always great to see you. Thanks for coming in studio. A few topics we want to hit before we really drill down deep to what we're getting here locally within our elementary and high school and middle school here within town, but also statewide, nationally, a few different topics to go over. One of those to start off with. Open enrollment is a big topic, of course, as Missouri House passed a bill creating open enrollment for public schools. Legislation has an opt-in program where schools can choose to accept students who live outside their district. How does Maryville approach something like this, and what are your expectations as this moves forward?
The way that I have followed this bill, House Bill 711, and I do think with a new governor who supports open enrollment, I do think this one has some serious traction. We have different groups that send us feedback and information, and they are asking us to take action, contact a local senator, congressman, whatever, to let them know our feelings. And so for really most of rural Missouri, our schools, I'd like to say we do it right. It's those city schools that have so much conflict and trouble within their own districts and boundaries that folks want to see this open enrollment really be successful. For us, I have a hard time being able to predict what this will actually do for our enrollment. There are some things that we would be required to do. We would be required to accept a state policy into our board policies. Now, how we follow that, there is some regulations and some rules that we could follow, how we want to opt in or opt out of that. For students, if they transfer in, you and I were kind of talking on the sports side of things, a transfer doesn't get a play immediately. They have a 365-day wait period before they could participate in sports. So there's that piece. Then you look at do you take on a whole lot of additional enrollments? Because now you're going to look at, I need to hire another teacher to fill that classroom. There are students that come to you from other districts that might have an individualized education plan, an IEP. Well, they typically have some specialized instruction. So you'd have to look at what you can provide them to continue to be successful in the classroom. So the way that I read this is, one, serious traction. It could be one of those that for the first time in several years, it actually does go through and pass. But for schools, there's still going to be some control as to how we manipulate the information given to us and how we want to accept enrollments for that open enrollment piece. But it's definitely coming down the pike. And we've got to keep an eye on that one. So that's House Bill 711.
Well, you touched on how this is something that, yeah, you think about some of the bigger cities and the metropolitan areas, and that's maybe some issues within there. You see kids might be jumping from school to school at times. I feel like the concern also is if you live in a rural community, that maybe some of these smaller schools, if a couple parents decide, hey, let's pluck our kids and send them here, 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 then that's going to kill certain rural schools while also putting it on, hey, you know, we're filling up classrooms in some other school districts that are kind of battling some teacher shortages already.
Yeah, there's conspiracy theorists out there, right, that look at our neighbors to the north. Iowa for a long time has forced consolidation of these small schools. My first principalship was in a tiny town called Winston, Missouri, north of Cameron. So much pride to be a Winston Redbird. And this type of bill could force a consolidation between a Winston and maybe a Gallatin. And we've seen that in Iowa. It feels like this has the potential to create some of those consolidations as we move forward.
And I get that 100% from Union Star. Graduated with 11 kids. It's one of those things of you do take pride in that as a small community, so you hate to see some of those towns die and lose that identity. We'll kind of see as that moves forward. Another one in similar vein, but it's different though, obviously. Homeschool kids open it to extracurricular activities at public schools. That's something that's also gaining some momentum.
Yeah, so Senate Bill 63, another one of those bills that's been introduced, reintroduced through several sessions. This one, too, has our attention. And this would basically take any regulatory control away from your local school board and from MSHA as far as how they might be involved with activities and athletics. So Senate Bill 63, the homeschool bill, would allow any student in your district that is being homeschooled, don't have to produce the curriculum per se of what you are studying, but those students could automatically be part of your clubs, your activities, and your athletics. Not necessarily 100% bad, but it does, again, take that regulatory control away from your school district to at least know what kind of curriculum is being taught in that homeschool setting. Again, not sure the numbers of folks that might participate in this because they're at a homeschool setting, but we also believe that there's some folks that are currently enrolled full-time that might opt for this setting because their interests might take them elsewhere. So we're playing with that. The district has developed their own policy. We've had some readings of that. Our board's been very active. We've had some work sessions. We've taken some input, good input from the community. But we're really wanting to wait and see what happens with Senate Bill 63, because if it's going to blanket the homeschool situation in total, then we're not ready to go ahead and create a policy, adopt it, and then have to change it. So that one is to be determined. Our board is going to take action on this one way or the other, but we will see if the state provides us the guidance that will be helpful for us to make that decision.
And the final one to get to, President Trump a couple weeks ago signed an executive order to reduce the Department of Education to its essential functions. So the directive tells what's left of the agency to prioritize sending money to school choice programs across America. How does this affect Maryville here back closer to home?
So Maryville receives about $2 million annually, federal dollars, and that's about 10% of our overall budget. So a number that we pay very close attention to. There are some things that come with that, a lot of paperwork, a lot of, I would say, inefficiencies that are created because we are reporting how we are utilizing those dollars. Not a bad thing, but it does take up a lot of people time. And that goes through some state reporting and then state to federal. it feels like some redundancies that if you're in it, you see those redundancies and you think, boy, there could be a more efficient way to do it. So I'm not saying that this is good or bad, but I am looking at it from the standpoint of if states had more control over those dollars, I think that they would find a way to spend those wisely. What a lot of top performing countries like about the elimination of a Department of Ed is it gives more local control to a state, or in Canada, a province, where they can then make those decisions at the local level for their students. There's a lot to be said for that. When it was enacted back in Carter's administration, he was wanting to create kind of a standard bar. Jimmy Carter came from Georgia, and they were looking at things that they could do to help the students, particularly in that population, that area, but from a federal level. Actually, Ronald Reagan, when he took president, he advocated for getting rid of this department in total. Back to your question, how does it affect us? So far, it hasn't affected us at all. We're receiving money, we're receiving funds, we're getting grants. Those things are there. Parents are concerned because, again, I mentioned earlier in the interview, an individualized education plan, an IEP, those dollars come from federal. We will continue to do what's right for kids. And we are not affected financially from that. But if we were, we would continue to figure out a way to make sure that we are meeting the needs of our students in the Maryville R2 school district. So much more to come on that, I'm sure. But as it stands right now, I think a lot of people are concerned. We have concern, but right now we're not being, it's not affecting us, if you will, on a day-to-day budgetary or service level. So we're doing okay.
And important, all these things we're talking about right now are in front of you. You're thinking about them and planning, all right, as this comes up, we're ready to shift and kind of go with what we need to so that it's nothing that's going to catch you by surprise.
Absolutely. And again, that goes back to the great people. We have great people in our district that know their roles. And, you know, that's what we do in education. We just adjust all the time, you know. So we will figure those things out as they come down our way.
Drilling down a little bit closer to home, there have been a lot of great things that have happened, some great things coming up here with the Maryville School District. Earlier this month, Maryville Robotics. And I don't know how many people actually, like, understand, like, hey, we've got maybe a great football team, a great basketball team, volleyball's one state, all these things, right? I don't know how many people pay attention to robotics and what they're doing. Phil Stone, the advisor, they go out, they win state. They're heading off to the World Championships for the second time ever. How awesome is that?
Phil's a neighbor. He's my neighbor, so I'm super excited for him. I see the work that he puts into it. He is at that school after hours till 7 or 8 o'clock at night as they get ready for a competition. Goes up to Nebraska. I think they went to Iowa this year. And, of course, over by St. Louis where they had state. One interesting fact is only one team can emerge as the state champion and move on to the VEX World Championships in Dallas. Well, Maryville had the first and second place team at state. So the other piece I would throw out there is this is a pretty young program. I think Phil's done it. Maybe this is his fifth or sixth year, kind of as almost a hobby or a club, and now it's more official. He's a sponsor, and it's been great, and you know we can use a lot of school resources to help him out. But very excited for Phil and for the robotics club. They are going to represent Maryville very well down in Dallas. And I think that's about the first or second weekend of May, maybe right after graduation. So very exciting times there. We've got students that are going to state singing competitions. Mrs. Parsons is sending, it feels like, about 30 kids that direction. We've got eighth graders doing great things. Cora Fike, she's an eighth grader. She went up to an Iowa swim meet and won like 3 state medals there. And that's like a regional meet. Tessa Main's an eighth grader speaking at an oratorical for the Optimist Club. She took first place in the county going on to a regional. We have students that are going and representing our Lighthouse crew, which is through our Leader in Me program at the middle school. They've been down to Jeff City presenting to legislators down there what they do. We just have great things going on all across the district. We just got to recognize our teacher and staffers of the year at our last board meeting. It's Board Member Appreciation Month, so we got to mention those. I mentioned Josh McKim earlier. He's got 9 years of service to our board. We've got folks 9 years, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, and 2 years. So we've got a good, strong board that, you know, they're making some tough decisions right now and doing a great job doing it. But all across the district, we feel like we've got great people in great places and students that are doing wonderful things. Didn't even mention another 36 ACT Raymond Zhao this year.
Crazy.
It's just like that just continues to happen. So we are very fortunate in Maryville.
You talk about what they're doing academically, and then like Tessa Main and what she's going out and doing and sending some off to state for choir, but then also World Championships Robotics, Lighthouse, all this stuff. How much of that kind of drills down and comes down to what you see early on for these kids? Because there's a lot of empowerment and like, hey, we want you to learn, but it's not just about like cramming information in your head, but it's about learning leadership and certain skills along the way that allows them to develop into eighth graders, freshmen, up into upperclassmen and beyond, to where they can be successful in more than just, you know, what's your report card look like.
Yeah, I think the foundation obviously is set at our early childhood center and at the elementary school. In fact, we just voted to expand our classroom offerings at the early childhood center so we can offer more preschool classrooms. So we're going to have one more preschool classroom that comes out of the bond issue and space and all those things. So we will be able to offer more preschool to students, a very big need for our community. We're excited about that. But that's where that foundation is set. And you see those things like leadership leak out into our elementary setting and our early childhood setting. You know, today you were dropping off your son. One of his roles today was to be a greeter outside with another student. And they go and get students off of a bus that's a preschool bus. Lots of leadership opportunities exist because we see what is happening at the other buildings. We like to try to create that foundation down there. So academically, social, emotionally, we feel like we're setting that foundation preschool through fourth grade. And then they just kind of become emergent when they get to middle school and high school.
This is Spoofound Spotlight here on KXCV KRNW. We're talking with Maryville Assistant Superintendent Philip Porin. Philip, also April 26th, pretty busy day just across Maryville in general. It's going to start in the morning with the Speedy Spoofhound 5K. Folks need to check that out. And then it's going to wrap up with prom later that evening.
Yeah, and one side note on Speedy Spoofhound 5K, if you are a participant over the last 10 or 11 years, that is going to take place at Maryville Middle School. So don't show up at Eugene Field this year. Show up at Maryville Middle School. Erica Jeter does a fantastic job with that. She's probably knocked on your door somewhere along the way asking for, hey, do you have anything KXCV can, you know, donate to the Speedy Spoofhound? She is just a passionate individual when it comes to that. That is a 5K race, again, starts at the middle school. That's how the morning starts. And then we've got prom in the afternoon to the evening. And Phil Stone and I, we're going to be the after prom MC.
Ooh.
So a little warm up here for what's coming in April.
So you're going from short running shorts to full tuxedo and then dressing for whatever it means to be kind of the MC late in the evening.
Sure.
A lot of wardrobe changes.
Yeah, pretty much. Last year, Phil and I had shirts that just said Phil Squared. So it might just be a T-shirt, but it will be a change.
Phil Squared, right? The little, not meaning that you are both squares.
No. He's really tall. He's like a rectangle. I might be more like a square.
You might be. Speedy Spoofhound, you mentioned starting at the middle school. Probably a bit of an easier track or a course this year as opposed to what we've seen in the past. Not that it wasn't good.
Lots of hills around Eugene Field School. Maybe a little bit less hilly, so go ahead and get signed up, folks. Make sure you're there. We usually have about 100 runners. We have a fun run before. It just really is a fun, family-oriented, fun day.
Good for walkers, for runners. If you're looking to maybe volunteer also, contact Erica Jeter. I'm sure she'd love to have you with that. As Philip mentioned, a great race director. We kind of co-op with that. Our 5K, which comes up April 12th through the 26th, is virtual, but working with Erica Jeter, we have the Fit Family Challenge. So if you register for both and you go out and participate in both of those, walking or running, a chance to win some great prizes there across the board, from St. Joseph Mustangs tickets, maybe win a ice cream cake, Baskin Robbins, some other really cool prizes too. Never know. Philip, also, last one we want to leave you with, and this might be one of the most important ones too. Can't have the school without the teachers. Teacher Appreciation Week fast approaching.
So we are changing our Teacher Appreciation Week this year to April the 7th, the week of the 7th. We actually would be on our last week of school and just about miss it if we did it the traditional week, which is like around May 5th. So April 7th, Teacher Appreciation Week. We look forward to appreciating all of our teachers and our staff. It's always a fun time. Families come out in droves for that. A lot of donuts, a lot of sweets, a lot of sodas, hype, whatever's out there, show your teachers that you appreciate them. They work hard for you and your students, and they love even just a little note that said your kids had a fantastic school year. So Teacher Appreciation Week, August 7th.
That's coming up.
Sorry, April 7th.
April 7th. We got it. April 7th. You're good.
Okay.
Philip, we appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Matt. Being in studio with you, this is unique. Usually we're on the road.
You know, sometimes I like when we're on the roof of a press box and the wind's blowing, it's really cold, trying to tape our papers down. It's a little bit different today.
Yeah, when you put the foil around my hand and said, hold your right hand up as high as you can, and it's not very high, but that was what got a signal. Those are memories, Matt.
Yep, just hoping there wasn't lightning that night.
Yes.
That's Philip Porin, the assistant superintendent for the Maryville School District, joining us here on Spoofhound Spotlight. I'm Matt Trin. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back with you again next month, coming up for another edition of Spoofhound Spotlight as we take you around the school district. Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.